Welcome to the Parental Development Podcast. I'm Leah.
And I'm Becca.
And we're two sisters, one with kids.
And one without. One with questions.
And one with answers. One who's a licensed psychologist.
And one who just wants everyone to hear what she has to say. We both have a heart to see parents succeed and kids thrive.
In this podcast, we'll be discussing a variety of topics, all with the goal of promoting conversation and learning. Thanks for joining us. Let's chat.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. After we got done recording last week, Leah and I were just like, oh, I think that went well. Well, I looked at her and I said, I felt like that was very abrupt and you just cut it short because I felt like we could have talked a little bit more about expectations. So that's what we're going to do today. I know exactly what we're talking about.
Hey.
So.
We're doing a part de.
De. Un de trois.
Which, to be honest, you're lucky I want to talk about anything because all I want to talk about is Scandoval. If you know, you know.
Is what?
Scandoval. Becca.
Clearly, I don't. Clearly, I don't know.
For all my reality TV peeps out there, it's been a rough couple of weeks. So
everyone pause this and go Google that because I don't know what the heck she's talking about.
It's all I want to talk about. It's all I want to talk about.
Okay, let's talk about expectations.
All right, so my first what in the week is really just like a, I suppose maybe a new season of life. I believe I will get some judgment for this.
Oh, that's something new.
What else is new? I know. I don't really care. My kids have never been dropped off anywhere other than school, my parents, his parents, and my sister, who has really been around since they were born. And so we they've both been asked over the last week. Sawyer had a play date and the other mom was like, he can just come over here. And I was like, buddy, first of all, I panicked and then was maybe going to try to work through it and said, buddy, do you want to go over there? And he was like, yeah. And I said, okay, you want me to drop you off? And he was like, oh, no. No, thank you. I said, okay. So fine. We pivoted. The other, his friend came over here. No big deal. And I talked to Sawyer a little bit about like, you know, how he was over here. Like, what did you think about that? Do you think you'll want to do that anytime soon? He was like, no, absolutely not. Okay. So then Lincoln, he has like a science fair, something or other happening where three of them have to get together actually later today to work on their science fair experiment. And I said, okay, you're going to go over to your friend's house. His mom said I can drop you off where I can stay. And he goes, you're going to stay. I said, okay. And so I talked to him a little bit about, like, what do you think about that? Do you think you're getting close to wanting to go to people's houses? And he also said, like, no, which truly I am fine with. Right. And again, I hear all the judgment and I don't care. But Ben and I have both started talking of, like, eventually,
yeah,
we're going to have to let our children, probably not Sawyer. I don't know if I would have let Sawyer. I don't know. It makes my heart race just thinking about it. Lincoln is older and I'm probably getting closer to letting that happen for him. So anyway, we're entering a new season and Ben and I are starting to talk about like what that might look like. And Ben is like, okay, you crazy. You tell me when you're ready and we will...
Right.
We'll be ready. Pretty sure this is a you thing, not a them or a me thing. So, and he's 100% right. So one of these days, my kids are going to go to someone else's house by themselves. Today, not that day.
Nope.
So I'm heading over with him. We're going to hang out for a couple hours while they do science fair. So, you know, if you're in the same boat, I feel ya. If you do it differently, totally fine. This is absolutely not a right or wrong thing at all. And I recognize I'm crazy. But
honestly,
it's just what we're comfortable with.
Well, that's the thing. If it's your kids are comfortable with that, okay. I don't want them to do something they're uncomfortable with. And if I am willing to take on the extra work and responsibility of actually going over to sit in somebody's house while my kid works on a volcano, then that's on me, right?
I know. It would be much easier to just be like, oh, that's so cool. 2 hours. And I'm going to like go to Target or something. Yeah. And I recognize that they are uncomfortable with it because we've never done that. I get all that. Yeah. I understand. And I still don't care.
Well, I'd rather be uncomfortable because we've never done it than be uncomfortable because something bad happened. Just saying.
Yeah. And that's the thing I always think, not to freak everybody out, but that's right. The thing I always think is like how they don't have a way to get me.
Right.
They don't have a way to get to me, for me to get to them, if something goes
right
haywire. And that's the part that like makes me start sweating. And I'm just not, it's just not for us. Totally fine if it is for you. There's a part of me that wishes it was for us. And it's just not right now. And that's okay.
Someday.
Someday. Maybe when he's like 16.
When he drives himself.
I know. Sawyer just told me this week that he, I regularly ask them, like, how long are you going to stay with me? You know, Lincoln says he's going to live with me forever. Sawyer used to say by the time he was like 8, he's out of here. And now it's like, whenever I can get my own house. And I said, okay. And so he told me regularly that I'm not allowed to come over, but I was very pleased that this time he said he wants it to be close because he wants to see me about once a week. And I said, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Once a week. That kid.
I know. Bless his heart. All right. Expectations.
Part and duh.
Part due. Yes, Becca told me I was abrupt, but it part of it was because I was seeing the time tick up and I was like, this episode, Ben's going to kill us.
Ben
this
is going to kill
us. Is going to be so long. And so, yep, I was just like, we're done for today. And then I looked at my notes and I had gotten through like one bullet point. So I said, I do have some other things that we could talk about.
So it was not unjustified. You just cut it. Hard stop.
It was. It was. And, you know, we had things to do. The day was just passing us by. I was done. I was done.
Okay. Well, we're back.
We're back. And so we'll pick up where we left off.
Yeah.
So if you're new here, you should go back and listen to last week's episode called Lower Your Expectations before you listen to this one. Because we're really just going to kind of
dive right
back
in.
Pick up where we left off. Yep. All right. And part of this comes, too, after we got off last week. I don't know. We sometimes have an episode after the episode where we talk about, like,
right,
maybe some of the things that we censored ourselves or, like, you know, we say things a little bit differently.
I have additional questions, too, after we get done. I'm not exactly a quick processor, so sometimes after we stop recording, then I'm like, oh, I should have asked that.
Yeah. So one of the things that came up are things like, so we talked about lowering expectations and listening to your kid's behavior, that if your kid over and over and over again demonstrates to you that they can't do something, that means the expectation is too high.
Right.
Okay. So then the follow-up question, and I can't remember if you or I identified this, but okay, but what if you have a kid that in the past has been able to do something,
mm-hmm,
and now all of a sudden can't or won't.
Right.
Like they've been tying their shoes for weeks and all of a sudden they panic and can't do it. Or, you know, something like that where it's something that it's not that they can't physically do it.
Right.
It's either like a regression or all of a sudden the skill is like gone out the window. And I guess my thoughts about that are, I still believe there's a function, mm-hmm, for the lack of being able to do that. So in one of the early episodes, I talked about, it was one of the ones we were talking about connection, and it was in the middle of the pandemic, and many, many, many of our kids had regressive behaviors,
right,
and were seeking attention in ways that they never had before. And Lincoln, who would have been, 6 or 7, in the height of the pandemic, was all of a sudden asking me to brush his teeth every day,
mm-hmm,
which there was no reason that kid needed me to physically brush his teeth. He knew how to brush his teeth. He had been brushing his teeth for years. Not a thing that he didn't know how to do. but was absolutely, in my mind, a request for connection that he needed in that moment when, you know, the world was topsy-turvy and we all needed each other more than ever. So there's a part of me that thinks sometimes when kids have been able to do a certain thing and then all of a sudden can't or won't, that much like everything, I believe almost every bad behavior is a desire for connection, and it's a way to get connection. And so whether that's you yelling at them connection or you helping them connection, they want the connection, however you're going to give it to them. Sawyer, which based on my previous story about him, he is not a snuggly connection. For Sawyer looks very different than it does for Lincoln. But many, many mornings when we're getting ready for school, he asks me to put his shoes on for him. And he knows how to put his shoes on. He absolutely knows how to put his shoes on. There are other days he tells me to leave him alone so he can put his shoes on. But that to me is his request for connection. And I'm going to do anything that kid asks me for help with, because it's the only way I get connection with him at all, is when he invites it in.
Which is so subtle. It's so subtle.
Yes.
And you have to be so in tune with your kid and regulated yourself to be able to, in that moment, hear that subtle request for connection in the way of, Mom, can you help me put my shoes on? Or Mom, can you help me brush my teeth? I think that we, our lives are so busy and loud and chaotic that sometimes we're not able to hear those subtle messages, but our kids are giving them.
Yeah. And part of it is, it's almost bigger than that, where it's not like I'm some genius of like, oh, I heard, you
know.
No.
Yeah.
It is just that this is how I view everything, right?
Yeah.
Like, I believe, especially for Sawyer, anything he asks me for help with is because he wants connection with me. Because that kid does not, he is just wired differently. And we are connected, but it is through those kind of moments. And again, that, I don't know, a couple episodes ago talking about connection, his is big connection. And we are running and chasing and tickling and nerf warring and that kind of thing. That is his connection. And so it's more just a lens change.
Right.
Of, I could very easily also see that as he's manipulative. He's stalling. He just doesn't want to do it. He wants to ruin my day. He knows I'm busy. I could very easily say all those things about him. And I just choose not to.
Assume positive intent.
Yeah. I just choose to view that behavior as he just wants me close and he wants help with something. Of course I'm going to help him with it. So it really is just a decision that we make as parents to view that behavior a different way. Same for the teeth brushing. In the beginning, I was very confused by it, and I think a couple of times said, like, buddy, you know how to brush your teeth. Go brush your teeth. Get out of here. I mean, because it was also, we're trying to get out the door.
Well, right.
We weren't going anywhere that day. You know, back then we didn't go anywhere, but I was trying to get ready. All those things of, it was just kind of
an inconvenience. Yeah.
Yeah. Until I think I talked to one of my like colleagues at work about it. And she was like, I mean, that's his, I don't know what's happening right now. Please just come do this minuscule task for me to show me you're still around. So it really is just it truly is a conscious choice that I hope through all these episodes and everything we talk about, parents are paying a little more attention to and just view your kid's behavior as like, huh, I wonder if he just wants me close to him. What a different way to view that behavior than he always wants me to be late and never wants to get out the door. That's not what that behavior says to me, even if you're just looking at it from a factual basis. That is just saying he wants someone else to put on his shoes for him.
I just think that's so powerful. If you can do that, if you can shift that lens that you look at, I mean, same thing, just piggybacking off of last week, just change the lens that you view your kids and your kids' behavior through to they're doing the best they can. There's a function behind the behavior, and I assume positive intent. Like, that's just so powerful. I think that's just so powerful in your relationship with your kids, in the environment and in the vibe in your home. Like, that's just so powerful. And it's very, I'm going to put air quotes on this, pretty simplistic in nature.
Yes. Yes.
Just listen.
I always just say, it's simple. It's not easy.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is always for all this stuff. It is very simple. It is not like earth shattering stuff. It's not easy because of all the things we've talked about in all the other episodes. But I also promise you, it makes you, like, for me as a human, it makes my life better because I am not just the constant angst that I think a lot of parents are like chasing their kids with of he's this and he's that and he always does this and I'm so annoyed and he can't do that and all these things. I think just like wears you down, like your, I don't know, your outlook and your, you just become like a grump.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds simplistic too, but as opposed to like making these choices and then like you get to enjoy your kids.
Yeah.
And you get to, because you're connecting in different ways and you actually get to enjoy them and not feel like you're just a, I don't even know. You're just like always upset and they're always upset.
Yeah.
And it almost starts to feel like you're looking for something to be mad at them about or to get them in trouble for or to, you know, correct them about. And that sounds terrible to me. Yes, Becca's raising her hand.
I have a question because you said something. Okay. Because I think that, let's say in the example of Sawyer, who's six, wanting you to help him put his shoes on. I think that a lot of times people would say the fact that he doesn't want to put his shoes on is being manipulative or he's being a baby or yada, 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 fill in the blank.
Yeah.
You said something that, you know, when our kids, something that seemingly they know how to do and then all of a sudden they won't do it or they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a time, because I would think it's mostly they won't do it because they want your help in seeking that connection, right? But is there a scenario where they can't, like physically can't do it? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah. Well, this would probably be more rare and on the extreme end, but there are certain like developmental disabilities or certain things where kids actually regress.
Like
their development regresses. One of the ones we've talked about in the past is like wetting the bed, where like they've had that and then all of a sudden something happens and they start wetting the bed again. There are certain developmental, I don't know what to call them, issues, problems, difficulties that result in regressive behaviors. You would have to have a professional probably help you determine those. And those really are more developmental milestones, crawling, walking, talking, potty training, those kinds of things.
Okay.
The rest of it, it really is like a, they just aren't doing it. They just don't want to do it, or they are choosing not to do it to get a different result.
Right.
I just, this is again, one of those nuanced things where like, I choose often to look at my kids and like a, huh, they can't do that right now for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I look at it as they won't do it,
that's negative.
Then I feel my stuff rise up of, well, I'm going to make them do
right. it. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I choose to look at almost everything as like a can't do because they don't have enough connection or because they're not regulated enough or because X, Y, and Z, where it's not like they really physically can't do it. But they can't do it because of something happening internally or externally that, again, just helps me look at it differently. Because, again, if I say, like, they won't do that, all of my childhood authority junk, I can feel it rise up in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I engage in ways that I don't want to. And so I, again, choose to say, like, huh, I wonder why they can't do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps me approach them in the same kind of way of, okay, I'll help them.
Yeah.
And then let me go back to something you said, because I think, yes, everybody says, or many people would say, that's manipulative or he's being a baby. If he, let's say that may be true. He's manipulating me. If he is manipulating me to get connection from me, I don't care.
Mm.
Cool, buddy. Manipulate me all you want because you want if that is what you feel like you have to trick me for is connection.
Ugh, I don't like that.
Then I may not be doing something right. I may need to look at something is off because I want you to believe that I will give it to you freely. You don't have to do anything for it. Mm. So I don't care. If that's manipulation, cool. I don't care. I'll take it. And if he's being a baby, again, it's to get nurturing or connection from me. They can do whatever they want to get that from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I will pick up on that and respond in a way that meets the need for them as opposed to shuts it down. That's always my hope.
Yeah. When you said that, I don't like how that feels. Like the fact that they feel like they need to manipulate me to get connection for me, that doesn't feel right.
But that is what happens most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, I go into schools for work regularly and I do consulting where I go into classrooms and a lot of times it'll be like certain kids, they want me to say like, we can't figure out what to do with this kid. And they are climbing under like the little risers and they're talking and they're refusing to do certain things. And, you know, I met with one teacher and I said, that kid is like craving you. And he misbehaved until she took him out into the hallway to talk to him. And I said, he got you. He got what he needed from you. He just got it in like a really inappropriate way. So this kid is craving your attention and connection. And he did everything he needed to do to get it. He had you one-on-one out in the hallway for 3 to 4 minutes. That is the need you met. And so like, nothing wrong with the need. Let's figure out how to do it differently to where like give him connection way before his behavior goes south.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of what I do with teachers is that of like, he's just trying to get to you. And that is what happens with parents. Mm-hmm. Like I truly believe almost all behavior is quote unquote manipulation to get connection. And they will take it however they can get it. Mm-hmm. Even if it is you yelling at them. That is connection. It's just not the healthiest connection. So it's all just about how you view it, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. One of my next bullets.
Oh, points. Bullet points.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all right.
Pew, pew.
Bullet points. Get out of here. You're so stupid. Oh, man. My Nerf bullets. One of my Nerf bullets. Is that if it's something, if it's a significant thing for expectations, let's go back to what we're actually talking about. For expectations, if it truly is something I want them to do or change, and I think like, this is not going well, I don't like this, this doesn't feel good for me. I always want to include my kids to figure it out and help them understand this is a problem for me. You may not understand it, but it frustrates me or I don't like how we interact when this happens, or I don't feel like this is the best thing for you, or anything else like that. I will have a conversation with them to say, what do you think we should do about it? And we come up with some kind of a plan. And then we set that quote unquote expectation or goal, and then we keep talking about it and tweaking it and looking at it and assessing it. And so I think many times when parents have something that they want their kids to start doing or stop doing, they just unilaterally say, this stops today.
Mm.
And there's no conversation. There's no warning. There's no nothing. And then all of a sudden, you have completely flipped the script on your kids. And they think, what the hell are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And that will almost always get you more pushback. Even then was originally happening, whatever behavior or thing you're trying to change, because you have now confused their system and it just creates so much more of a power struggle than if you said, all right, listen, I know I've been letting you eat food in the bedroom and I don't like that. I'm sorry that I let you do that before. I've changed my mind. I don't want that to happen anymore. And so we're going to kind of change things a little bit and that is no longer going to be allowed. Okay. No food in the bedrooms. And so we can talk about how you want that to go, or where else you can eat, or if there are certain snacks you can eat in the bedroom that aren't messy, that kind of thing. But this is going to shift, and here's why. That is very different than all of a sudden you've let them do this thing for months, and then all of a sudden you say, nope, with no explanation, no collaboration, no nothing. And so I think a lot of times if you can include them on that, just be open and honest with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to cater to them, right? Like if I make a decision, then that's fine. That's a boundary. I can hold that. But to include them just in the creation and implementation of that can be super, super helpful down the road to get more buy-in and collaboration and cooperation with what you're actually trying to do.
That makes sense. And I think I sent you a TikTok of this mom, which she was dealing with teenagers where, bless her heart, she was just distraught because she's hell-bent on doing things different in her home. Whereas growing up, like, her opinion didn't matter. Her voice didn't matter. She didn't get a say. She wasn't allowed to question things. And so she really wants to give her kids that autonomy to have, like you just said, this collaborative conversation about what she's asking of them.
Yep.
You know, I may still hold the boundary, but they may make a valid point. But I think it's so important. And it starts when they're kids, right? To allow them this collaborative say in, this is what we're doing. This is the expectation, quote unquote, this is the goal. They're allowed to question it. Like, I don't understand. Yep. That doesn't make any sense. Why would you make me do that? And then you as the parent then say, not because I said so, but then you have this conversation with them about why. And you may be going to get here later, but I'll just tag this on because this is another thing we talked about after we stopped recording last week was I asked you sometimes as parents, like say we do set that goal or set that expectation and we allow our kids to question or whatever, or maybe we don't, and we dig our heels in for maybe some arbitrary thing that doesn't matter. And as a kid, especially a teenager, they know that that's arbitrary. Like they know that it's ridiculous or, you know, doesn't make sense, but we like dig our heels in. And so I think I asked you, how can we know that, or what do we do, or why? Do you remember us having that conversation? Do you want to talk about that? You may have already been going to talk about that, but it made me think of it because when we give our kids the freedom and the safety to question us, sometimes I think that we feel like that's opening Pandora's box and then we're like, oh, shut it down.
Yeah. And I think the way you asked it after the episode last week was, is there ever a time where you would like dig your, talking to me,
that
I would dig my heels in and really set a firm, like, no, we are not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I said the only thing I can think of is if it is a safety issue.
Yeah.
That I will dig in for safety. And then my next thought was, I really believe that anything that you feel that strongly about as a parent, that you are digging in and going at it with your kids, is something rising up in you.
Mm.
That's your junk. That is not an actual parenting hard line.
Say more about that, because I think that that's very real. And I think that it's hard to hear as parents because, again, we have to acknowledge some pretty hard things about how we were raised and the ramifications of that long term. But that's very real.
Yeah. And I have the same thing.
Yeah.
Where I will dig in about something and then later I think like, I don't know why I care about that. I don't know why I screamed and yelled at that. But anything that you feel that strongly about that you are willing to like go to the mat with, other than safety, I can get on board with safety because we need to keep them alive. And right, I have a high bar for safety. Mine is truly keeping them alive. You can have a lower bar, but it's still safety.
Right.
But sometimes even with safety, that's my stuff.
Right.
What you choose to have big reactions for safety about is often our stuff. You know, I was watching someone on Instagram last night and her biggest fear is her kids choking on something because when she was a child, she choked on a peppermint.
Mm-hmm.
So even like all of us would say like, yes, I'm concerned about my kids choking. I don't want that to happen. the intense reaction people have to different safety concerns is their stuff.
Right.
It's your history. It's your messages. It's your nervous system. It's your abuse. It's your fill in the blank. That's yours. That is not your kids. And so there are very few things. Once you adopt this type of parenting or approach or outlook, there are very few things that I have to dig in and are serious enough for me to go to the mat and fight my kids about it. And the times when I feel myself doing that, that is mine. I think I talked about one of them a few weeks ago where for me, I try real hard not to yell. I do sometimes. But the thing, the behavior that triggered for me and said like, oh, this is my stuff. Whereas I started lecturing Lincoln, like, I don't know, like he was in class. I can't remember what it was about. And oh, it was about math. I started just lecturing and explaining and what I thought was helping and it wasn't. And right, we did my work on an episode to say like, that is my own stuff about wanting him to be successful and academics and intelligence and what that means to me. That is my stuff. He is not responsible for that. And so there is not a thing I can think about behavior-wise. There is not a behavior I can think of where I would dig in and really demand certain things that is not mine. Mm. That is not my junk. And, you know, I think all of us talk about like we want to break cycles and it's this generational thing. That is where that happens.
Right.
Is recognizing that is mine. That is not his to take. That is not. And that's certainly, I shouldn't give that to him. That's not his.
Right.
And if I really want to break that, some of these generational things, I cannot make that his. Because then I'm giving him the same junk that I'm trying to undo on the other side.
Yeah.
And I really, for parents, I think that are starting out in this type of parenting and trying to make changes, I think from like an insight perspective, that can be one of the biggest, like identifiers or cues that, oh, this is something I need to pay attention to. Why do I care so much about this behavior?
Yeah.
If you find yourself like going hard for certain behaviors, that to me is a sign that that really matters to you, but there's probably an underlying reason why that matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
If that's a respect thing, if it's an anger thing, if it's a success thing, you likely have some messages in your childhood and in your past that are creating this reaction in you, and looking at that and examining that and paying attention to that is really where you'll start to have some pretty significant breakthroughs, I think, or like really recognizing certain patterns in yourself and areas that need to be looked at and addressed. Not that it's easy, but it gives you a clue about where you can start and what some of your, you know, difficulties are.
Well, and I think once you do that too, to bring it back to expectations, right? Like once I'm able to do that, that has to then adjust or color the quote unquote expectations that I have for my kid.
Right.
Not hinging those on my own stuff, but like we talked about last week, what are they capable of doing? Not what I feel they should do because it's bringing up this junk in me. But what are they telling me they're able to do? And listening to that.
Yeah. And what role do I have to get them to a point of fill in the blank? Compliance, cooperation, success, effort, whatever. What role do I have as a parent? How can I make sure they feel safe and connected and regulated enough to be able to even do the thing?
Mm-hmm.
And that is all we can control. I cannot control another person. What is my role in this, in these expectations? And if I'm not setting the groundwork and the parameters and the environment enough to even make that possible, then again, having those expectations of our kids is just unfair. We're setting them up to fail. And we're setting up our relationship to be not great.
Yeah.
Because we're just chasing them to get them to do something that we ourselves have not set up well enough to make possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'd like to slide into ending this episode and
cha-cha slide.
We're going to be ending now.
Let's just you're so dramatic.
Everybody. It makes me more fun. I am. And it makes me sometimes more fun. Just ask Ben. Oh, boy. All right, we're done.
Oh, jeez. So,
thanks again for being here. I hope this kind of put a nice little bookends on this whole conversation about expectations and goals and behavior and all the things. So we appreciate you being here.
Well, before you jump out, I think it does because it takes it. I think last week we focused on our kids' like stuff, like how they're able to adjust to the expectations that we have. But it this whole way of parenting has less to do with the kids and more to do with the grownups in the room. And that is us doing the work ourselves. And so I think this is a very good other bookend to, yes, we acknowledge what our kids are capable of and what they're telling us, but we also acknowledge the part that we play in setting them up to do XYZ that we would like for them to accomplish, whether you're going to call that an expectation or a goal. So there you go.
You're better at that. I should have just had you do it. So,
so
thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Parental Development. If you found this helpful at all, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you choose to stream. And if you have questions that you'd like answered on the show, email info@parentaldevelopment.com. We'd love to hear from you to know that someone else is actually listening.
And remember, we're all doing the best we can in this parenting thing, so survive the day and keep the kids alive. See you next time.